Save big money on protecting your garden now at Menards. Messina's Animal Stopper is a liquid repellent that prevents animals from damaging your garden. Available in a convenient, ready-to-use bottle. It lasts for up to 30 days, regardless of weather and watering. Save big money on Messina's Animal Stopper at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
Kempire is brought to you by
Washington, D.C. The Kempire After Dark, the Villain Era live tour is coming to your city on August 22nd. But before that, we're coming to Philly on July 10th at City Winery. Then we're going to Atlanta on August 5th. Then we're going to Washington, D.C. And this is going to be an all new show, all new hot topics, all new reality TV conversation, and all kinds of amazing guests and surprises. Be sure to get your tickets today. And don't forget, we're coming back to New York City on September 12th. Go get your tickets. There's also a live stream option exclusively for the New York City show. More information will be available in the description.
You're listening to Kempire here on the Kempire Radio Network.
Oh, this is a special podcast episode because I'm going to talk about a couple of things before I share some of the other stories that we've been sharing on YouTube. I don't take for granted that there are some people that just follow me on the podcast, and then there are some of you that just follow me on YouTube. And then, of course, shout out to those of you that follow me on both. If you're new here, be sure to make yourself known. Shout out to our Spotify fam. What I love right now, it's a small family, even growing family. When I say small, what I like about the Spotify app is, and this is not sponsored, and it sounds sponsored, but it's not. What I like so far about the Spotify app is the ability to leave comments. And you know, I'm normally not in the comment section like that, only like when we upload a video really quickly. However, it's such a new thing, and I'm getting to see some of the comments. That's the one place where I haven't turned the notifications off when it comes to comments. So I get to see all of your lovely comments about some of the episodes that we've done, including our interview with the prosecutor, Kirsten Brown. If you want an understanding of this Diddy trial from a prosecutor's perspective, a lawyer's perspective, be sure to check that out. You can hear it on the podcast, but you can also watch it on the Kempire YouTube channel. But I did want to talk about a couple of things before we get into DDG and Halle Bailey or Brian McKnight being trash. I mean, beginning, end story, he's trash. But the Real Housewives of Atlanta, as you know, we've been talking about their ratings. This week, their ratings came out. And shout out to our friends over at TV Deeds, and shout out to Ratings Bravo on X as well. Those are two sources that I go to normally to get the ratings of these series. And it just reminded me that Below Deck, the new season, has started. I miss Captain Lee. I need to get back into it. I just finished watching Below Deck Down Under. I just don't talk about it. We haven't done Tuesday Takeover in a long time just because of time. And Tuesday Takeover is a lot to cover when we're talking hot topics and we're talking multiple reality TV shows. So we haven't talked about Below Deck in a while, but maybe I'll make that a podcast exclusive or maybe a Club Kempire exclusive. I still need to release that episode. So shout out to our Club Kempire baddies. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, that's a Apple Podcast subscription service that we are doing. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcast, then you can see it as an option on our page here. Anyway, so the ratings for Real Housewives of Atlanta, we talked about last week how they dropped, and we said, this is not good. and for all the money that they've thrown at Phaedra to bring Phaedra on this show, she should be delivering. But I also said, because you guys like to pick and choose, not you guys, but you get what you, when I'm talking about you guys, you know, I'm talking about the larger Bravo universe, like to pick and choose what I say. First of all, I don't want to see Real Housewives of Atlanta fail. Who wants to see a show that you love fail? I mean, some people probably do. Maybe some of you do, and you're just projecting. But I've said that countless times. I don't want to see Real Housewives of Atlanta fail. I actually would like to, whatever, because I'm watching it and reviewing it. You guys are not watching it, so you don't care. Maybe you don't care if it fails. I want to be entertained. However, I will also talk about the elephant in the room. The ratings have dropped to it. And we were talking about this because y'all know I'm not Team Twirl or anyone. We were talking about how the ratings were dropping when Kenya was still on the show this season. The demo has been dropping to record lows. So it's funny because this week's ratings came out because we were talking about last week. And I even pointed out in last week's commentary on that. Well, we have to keep in mind it's Memorial Day. We have to keep in mind Beyonce was in town here in New York City. We also have to keep in mind a lot of people are watching things on streaming. But again, you guys pick and choose what you hear when it comes to when I talk about this. The same when, sidebar, I'll take a quick sidebar. I had posted, and this is X. I probably should just get off of X because that's such a toxic cesspool. And for all of you that say it's always, it's because of these particular people, no, it's you. It's a lot of you that loves to talk about how it's a toxic cesspool. You're making it a toxic cesspool. Anyway, I had posted a tweet. I said, the way that people are commenting on Next Gen before it came out, the way people were commenting in Bravo's posts about the show, oh, we didn't ask for this, this show is terrible, I'm not watching, blah, blah, blah. I posted a tweet saying, the way that people are you know, just talking terribly about this show, those ratings are going to be horrendous. However, when the show came out, people were like, oh my God, this show is amazing. Da, da, da. I haven't watched it. I don't know. It doesn't seem like it's a show for me. It doesn't mean that I won't watch it or give it a watch. It's just not, right now, with everything that I got going on, it's not an important show for me to watch. Yes, I saw that Ariana said that her mom and dad took her money. Am I shocked by that? Is anyone shocked by that? No. No one's shocked by that. But I say all that to say, people feel as if, like, I want these people to fail. No, some of y'all probably are, again, projecting. I don't want these people to fail. I've already said, based off of the commentary that I was seeing in the comment section, I was like, this doesn't sound like this show is going to do well. And you also have to remember that the large part of the Bravo audience is not this demographic. I get it. They're trying to utilize this demographic to get more of that demographic for the network. But sidebar, y'all remember Ray Cunningham said that he shopped a show with the same title to Bravo. However, they never picked up his show. However, and mind you, the cast that he was talking about was definitely black and brown. And actually probably people that were a little bit more interesting. But fine. Look, I am open to it. But I still say bring back Family Karma with all the drama that's been coming out this week when it comes to Family Karma. Anyway. Back to Real Housewives of Atlanta. I say all that to say, I had made comments last week. I was like, for Phaedra's return, I don't care if it was Memorial Day. For Phaedra's return, it should have done at least numbers in the demographic. I've told you, we've seen a series low, not just in the viewership. We already know viewership has been dropping across the board when it comes to reality television in general, Real Housewives in general. However, for Real Housewives of Atlanta, the demo had kept on dropping to record lows every single week. So I was like, this is not good. However, we have good news this week. Come on. Finally, 1 week, they have decent numbers. The demo is up 0.16. That's pretty up. I think last week it was like 0.12. And the viewership is 652,000 viewers. So I had a couple of people on X tag me, a couple. And if y'all think I'm going to argue with you when you are a stranger to me, I already told you. And if you didn't know, I'm going to let you know now. I'm not arguing with strangers on the internet. I barely argue with people in my real life, even when they annoy me. You think I'm going to argue with you on the internet, a stranger, no thank you. All right, I said what I said, and I'm standing on it. And for me, it's not even just about Phaedra's return. It's not just about the ratings of last week dropping. It's consistent droppage this season. So 1 week of good ratings is not going to equate to a fantastic season or the impact of Phaedra Parks. Ooh, yes. 1 week, because the next week, if they drop again, what y'all going to say? What y'all going to say? Because for me, it's not even, I already knew Phaedra's not going to be the person to bring the ratings to the roof, okay? To bring back the sinking ship. I already knew that because she didn't do that for Married to Medicine. She didn't do that for Dubai. She didn't do that for any of the shows that she was on. However, I will give her credit. I enjoyed her on Traitors. I will always say that. But again, you guys pick and choose. Like, oh, you just a Phaedra hater. No, I give Phaedra credit when credit is due. What I don't like about Phaedra this season is the fact that she's not showing accountability, including in her tagline. No accountability, no apologies for what she did before she left. So we're the audience, and this is Bravo who selects these taglines. The audience is just supposed to move on. Like she didn't do something horrific, horrendous, that was defamatory. But okay, fine. Fine. You go ahead. And mind you, these are probably the same people not watching the show. They just like to get on their soapbox on the internet. Anyway, so I wanted to talk about that. Because a lot of people are like, oh, what do you got to say now? I'm busy, booked and busy, not only with covering the Diddy trial, but other stories, because we know we don't just talk about Housewives. And if anything, we've talked very little about Housewives in 2025 because they're just not hitting anymore. And I can't promise that I'll be into Beverly Hills based off of Teddy coming back, allegedly. That I might be really out when it comes to Beverly Hills. I'm excited about Real Housewives of Miami coming back. So Miami, and now Atlanta's about to end. They're literally filming their reunion today. That seating chart should be interesting. So with Atlanta ending, and then, of course, what else? Oh, Orange County is supposed to drop their trailer today. I never really was into Orange County years ago. I've gotten into it. I feel like they've had a fantastic last couple of seasons. At least the last season was fantastic. So we shall see. Okay, we shall see. So stay tuned. Now let's get into what's going on with Brian McKnight. Brian McKnight, ain't no good gonna come to you till you do right by your children and your ex-wife. Brian McKnight has taken to social media to slam his own brother and his ex-wife for how they handled the passing of his son, Nico McKnight. So it was just this past weekend that we did a video talking about the reunion of Monique and her son, but also the announcement that Nico McKnight, Brian McKnight's biological son, had passed away at the age of 32 years old after a two-year battle with colon cancer. Dr. Frieda, who has a YouTube channel here on YouTube and on Instagram, posted about the importance of understanding colon cancer and understanding how it affects the Black community. I'll insert it here.
Brian McKnight's estranged son, Nico McKnight, has passed away from colon cancer at the age of 32. Black people have higher rates of colon cancer, we are more likely to be diagnosed at younger ages, and we are more likely to pass away from colon cancer. I'm Dr. Frieda, and here are seven things to know. One, Black Americans are 20% more likely to be diagnosed with colon cancer when compared to other ethnic groups, and we are 40% more likely to pass away from it. Two, you should be screened for colon cancer by no later than the age of 45, according to the American Cancer Society. However, Nico McKnight passed away at the age of 32, and Chadwick Boseman was only 43 when he passed away from colon cancer, so this screening age would not have helped them. Three, Black people are twice as likely to be diagnosed with colon cancer before the age of 50 when compared to white Americans, according to an NIH study. Four, Black people are more likely to have advanced colon cancer at the time of diagnosis. Five, why are Black people disproportionately affected by colon cancer? Well, some theories are that socioeconomic factors and lack of medical insurance could be the cause, though these would not likely have affected Nico McKnight. Environmental or behavioral factors like having diets high in red meat could be a reason. Here's potentially a big one. According to a 2021 NIH study, there are genetic mutations found almost exclusively in Black people that could be contributing to this health disparity. Also, many of the colon cancers diagnosed in Black people are found in places in the colon that are more difficult to be seen by colonoscopies. The proximal colon. 6, symptoms of colon cancer may include changes in bowel habits, diarrhea and/or constipation, a narrowing of your stools, bloody stools, dark or black stools, abdominal pain, unintentional weight loss, or no symptoms at all early on. 7, the colonoscopy is the gold standard for diagnosing colon cancer, but there are some less invasive tests like Cologuard. Consult with your doctor. If you learned something new, please click the follow or subscribe button. To watch my full video on colon cancer, click the link in my bio or visit drfrieda.com.
Let's talk about Brian McKnight and how he's handled the fact that his brother, Claude McKnight, came out and revealed that Nico McKnight had passed away. I have to remind you what Claude said because it's important to understand the reaction of Brian McKnight.
So all day, I said to myself I wasn't going to post about this. And as the day wore on, I realized that how could I not post about this? This morning, I found out that my nephew, Nico McKnight, passed away. He'd been bravely battling cancer for the last 2 years or so. And I have a lot of feelings right now. I'm not going off a script or anything like that. I'm just going to be raw with how I'm feeling. Nico was one of those amazing kids who was quirky and curious and ridiculously talented. Amazing singer, an amazing guitar player, had a great eye, was a photographer. And just one of those kids that, at least in my estimation, was somebody you always wanted to be around. And so it really sucks that he's no longer with us. And I will also say, probably one of the reasons why I wasn't going to post about it is I post a lot of things, but I don't post a lot of really, really serious subject things, or certainly family things. And I wanted to post this about Nico, about his legacy, about how amazing he is, and not about what some of you may have heard about, you know, the family drama that has existed for quite some time. In our family. I'm not here to discuss that or to talk about how that happened or why it happened. This is not the time or the place, but what I will say is in any situation, there's always at least three sides to a story. There's my side, your side, and the truth. And the truth a lot of times is somewhere in between. So here's the thing. I don't know exactly what was going on there. I know what I've seen. I know what I've heard from all parties involved. And I try not to judge. I just try to be as loving to each person as I can be because apparently there's so much hurt going on, or was so much hurt going on, that a lot of things didn't get resolved. And again, I want to go back to Nico. I know that kid had a lot inside, a lot eating at him for a long, long, long time. That may have contributed to what happened with him. What I do know is he's out of pain now. And so I can rejoice in the fact that he no longer has to go through the chemo and the radiation and everything else. But I just want to uplift that young man and say we will see him again one day. I love you, Nico. Uncle Claude.
Honestly, I did not expect that Brian McKnight would take to social media in breaking his silence on the passing of his biological son, Nico McKnight, and slam his own brother. Because, again, the importance of showing that video again was because I felt, okay, did I miss something in what Claude McKnight had to say? And look, I understand that maybe he didn't want this announcement to be made, but I think Brian McKnight's reaction was based off of the backlash and the reminder to the world that Brian McKnight has not been there for his son. according to what they've said over the years. And a lot of people are saying, how could you not be there for him? And this is also based off of what Nico said in some tweets just a few months ago. Let me remind you about some of the tweets that Nico had written on social media. Nico said in a tweet back in April of last year, when I was about to die in the hospital from complications from my cancer, I just wanted to bury the hatchet and hear him say he loves me. And he told me he couldn't arbitrarily tell me he loves me. Still cuts so deep. Nico says, sometimes I wonder if my dad's karma is my close proximity to death. Like maybe if I end up dying, it'll release him from the grip of evil. Nico then also said in September of last year, if I could just have one more group hug between me, my brother, my mom, and my dad, I'd truly be ready. Nico then said, also, he says, every day I feel so embarrassed by how things went with our dad. When you're faced with a situation like mine, it quickly shows you what really matters. And family matters the most. I miss my family so much. Everyone. When I look at that, and I hear what Claude McKnight had to say about Nico, first of all, I don't see anything wrong with what Claude had to say. If anything, he gave you a lot of grace. And this is, you're not missing the accusations that you're a narcissist. I know that word is thrown around, but I think if you look up in the dictionary narcissist, you're going to see Brian McKnight's fades.
Yup.
Because somehow you've turned that situation and what Claude had to say on social media into something about you. So let's take a listen to what Brian McKnight had to say about Claude McKnight's statement. And he even attacks Nico McKnight's mother, Julie McKnight.
Bob McKnight's tasteless and self-aggrandizing announcement on TikTok that frankly was not his to make. In my opinion, he inserted himself and used Nico's death as an opportunity instead of letting him pass with respect and dignity. It has instead turned into a circus, a mockery of a life now lost.
He's accusing Claude of turning this into a circus by memorializing his nephew? Claude has turned this into a circus? Okay. Even the tone of Brian McKnight's voice tells me so much about him and about how he has turned this into a circus.
Making this tragedy into a reality show type drama. While that was unfolding, my family and I flew home to Maui and had a private memorial remembering him and all the good times. The last time he and I spoke, we offered him all...
His family. When he says his family, he's not talking about his other children. He's talking about the new Brian McKnight Jr., his new wife, and her children. And I'm not one to judge anyone on... I didn't need Brian McKnight to come out and put out a statement when it comes to Nico's passing. Everyone memorializes their loved ones that they've lost in different ways. Literally today is the 20-something anniversary of the passing of my own sister. I don't post things about that, but to me, talking about this, I'm giving you a correlation. It's like, I understand if you don't want to talk about this. However, now you've come to social media, not memorializing your son, but slamming your brother and his mother, and even Nico he's slamming.
The help we could provide. We had the number one oncologist on deck for him and a team of specialists on standby with private care in our home. He and his mother declined. The door of communication.
Did you ever think someone that you haven't had a connection with in how many years would not feel comfortable or safe in your home? Just asking a question.
Open and remained open until his death. To the self-proclaimed mama bear, may God have mercy on your soul for not allowing him to accept that help.
Self-proclaimed, these are microaggressions. Self-proclaimed mama bear. That's the name of Julie McKnight's book that she released. I did a little research and I saw that she had a book called Mama Bear. So him making that snarky remark towards her, a mother that just lost her son to cancer, young son to cancer, he was 32 years old. You make that snarky remark, self-proclaimed. But take a listen to this part, because to me, this is why people have turned on you, Brian. It has nothing to do with anything the other kids have said or what Julie McKnight has said. It's your actions. It's your statements that have turned your own fan base against you.
To the self-proclaimed mama bear, may God have mercy on your soul for not allowing him to accept that help and not allowing him to use that line of communication.
Is he trying to make Julie McKnight feel bad about losing her son? And look, we're only getting his side of the story. For all we know, they had their reasons why they did not want to accept help from Brian McKnight, someone who they have not had a relationship with.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1-pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to aero hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
Here, someone who has called his children pure evil. I can understand maybe not wanting to be in your house. But clearly, Nico said that he wanted to reunite with his father. He said it in posts from last year.
Great comfort in knowing God knows the truth and the totality of the whole story. I am truly thankful for the immense peace God has given me, and I've left everything in his hands. I have a clear conscience. The only judgment that matters is God's. My wife, our children, and I are eternally thankful to Almighty God that the suffering has come to an end and grateful for all of your condolences. Thanks to those of you who have known the truth from the beginning and haven't let untruths, half-truths, or slander prejudice your opinion.
Here's the thing. With that being said, the tone of his voice, I'm big on a body language expert here, not really, but just the tone of his voice. I've listened to his message multiple times. The tone of his voice seems so emotionless. And for us to believe that he really had any sort of emotion towards us, and I'm not going to take away from this is his son, but based off of past behavior and then based off this message, you're slamming your brother. Your brother's message was so kind, was so heartfelt, was so in between. He literally was being diplomatic. He said, there's somewhere in between the truth. I've listened to both sides. There's hurt on both sides. And even some people were slamming Claude for that. Like, what are you talking about? That is the fault. Claude was being fair. And I don't know the relationship between Claude and Brian McKnight over the years. However, I felt like he was so fair. He, as an uncle, had a right to go to social media if he wants to and celebrate the loss of his nephew. I think the reason why Brian is so upset at Claude was because it reignited people's disgust for Brian McKnight and his behavior. And I've told you, at first, this whole Brian McKnight versus his kids wasn't really hurting his shows. But in recent years, it's hurt some of his shows. Some of those shows have been canceled. Some people have said, I cannot listen to Brian McKnight music anymore for the way that he's treated his children. And we understand family dynamics can be complex. And I'm not saying that the children are perfect, but based off of behavior, I'm telling you, Brian, people are not reacting to what the children have said and done. They're reacting to your words, to your actions on social media. And this may have been the nail in your career's coffin. The battle between Halle Bailey and her ex-boyfriend and baby's father, DDG, is heating up as he files to stop her from bringing their son out of the country. She's now responding. We reported on this Halle Bailey and DDG situation a couple of weeks ago in regards to her filing for legal custody. And as you know, she was granted that temporarily until they have their hearing. Now things are heating up because DDG is trying to prevent Halle from taking their son out of the country. And she's responding. And now there's also text messages and all kinds of things that are coming out. And of course, we have a lot of people sharing their opinions. But let me give you the details of what we know so far. According to TMZ, DDG has filed an emergency motion to stop Halle Bailey from taking their infant son out of the country, claiming she poses an imminent emotional and psychological risk to the child. And this is where he's sharing text messages from a year ago. The rapper filed docs Wednesday morning asking for an emergency hearing because he says that Halle has made plans to fly with their son, Halo, to Italy on Saturday. DDG says that the court shouldn't allow this because Hallie isn't mentally healthy enough to care for herself and their child, and he worries about what she might do if she leaves the court's jurisdiction. So he wasn't saying that when she filed to have legal and physical custody? But okay. DDG provides examples of alleged conduct that he thinks is troubling, claiming that Hallie once took his GUN and left the house without telling him where she was going. DDG alleges that he ultimately found her outside just holding the weapon. He says that she was pregnant when the incident went down. And here's the thing, because I followed their relationship, although not reported on it. And even before they had a child together, there were cheating rumors. There was like a messy situation. And a lot of the aunties and the uncles in the comment section were like, girl, stay away from this man. You have too much going on with your life. And then when she had the baby, a lot of people had opinions about that. At this particular point, she was pregnant. It is what it is. Girl, you like it. We love it. This is what I've always said. You have to be mindful who you decide to have children with, because you're going to have to deal with that person for at least 18 years. As I said before, DDG provided multiple receipts. DDG alleges that Hallie once tried to have an abortion behind his back, but says that she ultimately changed her mind and decided to not go through with it. On another occasion, 2 months after Hala was born, DDG claims that Hallie sent a series of alarming text messages threatening to unalive herself and suggesting that their infant son Hala might also be harmed. Bailey has accused DDG of abusive behavior in the past, including once when she alleged that he slammed her face into a steering wheel and chipped her tooth. DDG tells a different version of events, claiming that he had to pick up Halo for his custodial time with his son, but Hallie jumped into his back seat when he did, demanding they come up with a formal co-parenting schedule. DDG alleges that she became increasingly agitated and started jumping from the back seat to hit him, and her momentum carried her forward and she smacked her head on the steering wheel. In fact, DDG says that he was actually on the receiving end of abuse by Hallie, including photos of a large cut on his hand in the docks, which he says that Bailey caused. DDG is asking the judge to block Hallie from taking Halo to Italy. He also wants sole legal and physical custody of their son, or if he's not granted sole custody, that he wants all custodial exchanges facilitated by a third party. So where were these responses when this happened a few weeks ago, if he had his own receipts? According to TMZ, Hallie Bailey is responding. But before we get to the response, let me just read to you what the court documents are saying. And shout out to our friends over at the Neighborhood Talk, because what do we do here? Always cite our sources. In the court documents, Tanya Granberry, his mother, DDG's mother, says, I, Tanya Granberry, declare and state as follows. I am the mother of Daryl Dwayne Granberry Jr., the respondent in the above entitled matter. I make this declaration based on my personal knowledge, and if called as a witness, I could and would testify competently to the facts stated herein. I reside in Los Angeles County, California. I am closely involved in my son's life, as in my fiancé, George Charleston, who also serves as my son's driver. Both George and I were involved in identifying and locating multiple Apple AirTags that were secretly placed in Daryl's vehicles. The first AirTag was discovered in June of 2023 in Daryl's Maybach. Daryl called me that night stating that the petitioner, Hallie Bailey, had shown up uninvited to a movie theater in Beverly Hills where he was attending a film with a female friend. Petitioner called me directly that night angrily stating that she knew Daryl was at the movies and made threats to F him up. George and I drove to the theater out of concern for Daryl's safety. When we arrived, we saw a petitioner outside the theater, visibly upset and attempting to confront and physically fight the woman he was with. I personally intervened to help de-escalate the situation. The next day, George, Daryl, and I thoroughly searched the Maybach and found an Apple AirTag hidden beneath the back seat. So I guess they assumed, like, how does she know where I was? Also in 2025, if this really happened and Hallie Bailey, the Little Mermaid, was doing this in these streets, you're telling me no one recorded it? Okay. The discovery clarified for us all to how the petitioner had tracked Daryl's location to the movie theater. A few days later, George received similar AirTag alerts while driving Daryl's Cadillac Escalade. Although we initially could not find the device, the alerts persisted. We searched the vehicle repeatedly and eventually found a second AirTag in the back of the Escalade. I'm not normalizing this behavior. However, if he's been accused of cheating on her before, I know, and I always try to bring it down to everyday people because we forget that celebrities are everyday people. Some of y'all have done this, and with the invention of the AirTag, y'all have taken y'all situations to another level, tech level. So I'm sure some of you have done this. So I'm not really judging Hallie. I'm sort of like, damn, Hallie, you were down bad in this relationship. You should have let this man go a long time ago. Approximately 2 to 3 weeks later, yet another AirTag was found in the Escalade, this time concealed inside a vitamin bottle. Again, George's phone was receiving AirTag tracking alerts while driving. After persistent searching, Daryl located the device hidden in the bottle. Here's where I'm confused. George is the stepfather and the driver. How is he receiving AirTag alerts if he is not the owner of the AirTags and this was something that Hallie set up? I'm not understanding. I might be a little confused in regards to the story here, but I have AirTags. I'm the only one that has control over those AirTags and where they're located. And only my phone, unless they have a joint iCloud account. Possible, but interesting. So after persistent searching, Daryl located the device hidden in the bottle. A fourth AirTag was found in April of 2024 after the birth of Daryl's son, Halo. I personally found this device inside the baby's diaper bag. Well, that makes sense to put it in the diaper bag, right? You have a kid. I know parents that put it in there. Okay, I'm making sense out of this stuff, but I'm trying. I'm playing devil's advocate. Hidden underneath the internal cardboard lining, this device was a different model, one commonly marketed for use with pets. I took a photograph of this AirTag, which is attached to the Declaration Exhibit 6. Each of these discoveries involved Daryl, George, and me working together to locate the devices. George would receive alerts, and we would search the vehicles until AirTags were physically recovered. Huh. We also have to remember she came out after Hallie had filed these legal custody situation. Her username is, I forgot what her name was, like, oh, DDG's mother or something like that. And everyone was like, don't you have other kids or something? I forgot what it was. But anyway, each of these discoveries involved Daryl, George, and me working together to locate the devices. In January of 2025, George and I moved into Daryl's home. While helping clean and organize the house, I discovered a box of unused AirTags in a drawer in Daryl's bedroom. These had been left behind by petitioner, who had lived in the home on and off both before and during her pregnancy. She moved out shortly after the baby was born in December of 2023. The box of AirTags remains in Daryl's possession. The repeated placement of these tracking devices establishes a clear and deliberate pattern of unauthorized surveillance and stalking of Daryl by petitioner. These actions caused Daryl significant emotional distress and concern for his safety, particularly given the threatening behavior I personally witnessed at the movie theater incident. I declare under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of California that the foregoing is true and correct, executed on June 3rd of 2025 in Los Angeles, California. This could have been their preparation because, as you know, they have a court hearing coming up in regards to the custody. So they've probably been sitting and gathering with an attorney on what is the legal approach that we should take when handling the situation so that we can, because he is trying to get full legal custody. However, he says that he's also open to a third party, which says to me, if you really were concerned about Halo's safety with Hallie, you would want physical custody, period. And you would have sought physical custody before she did, if you really were concerned. But okay, I'm going to play devil's advocate. I'm going to try and see his side because we got text messages to go through. They also share photos of these AirTags. One is the pet AirTag that's in the collar. I didn't even know they had that, but I also don't have a cat. Let's move on from there. There are text messages that DDG shared in these court documents. This is dated in March of 2022. I think the date is important because now we are in 2025. We're talking about 3 years later. Damn, she's been with this man that long? So Hallie says, answer the... Okay, I have to say there are a lot of errors in spelling. But I guess when you're mad, you're not thinking about spelling. In all caps, she says, answer the effing phone. And then she says it again, answer the effing phone. I'm going to try one more time. If you don't answer, it's over forever. I'm not playing, Daryl. That's it. Then he responds, I just want to be left alone, please. She says, I'm calling for help. I have a knife. She then says, I'm calling for help, but why don't you care, do you? But I guess she meant to say, but you don't care, do you? Then she says, okay. And then he's like, have a knife for what? She then says in some more text messages on March 21st of 2024. So we were just talking about 2022. Now this is March. So he had to really dig in his text messages in order to find this proof against Hallie. She says, this is proof. You leaving me hanging as a mother. You don't step up when I need you to. I'm begging you. I just found out you slept with Lala in Mexico. Not the Lala, right? Oh, I mean, there's a big age difference. It could be another one. I'm going to unalive myself tonight. My son will not be around for it. I hate you forever. You can have him and let her be his mom. Ooh. He says, I can't believe you're acting like this. She says, you put your penis inside of her in Mexico. Wow. This is what you call crashing out. But she's crashing out. And again, I always bring this back. I've never had this experience, but I have plenty of girlfriends. And I know some of y'all, because some of y'all share this stuff on social media, that crash out like this on social media too, when you find out that your man has been cheating on you. So for me, I'm not saying that we should normalize this behavior. What I'm saying is that I'm not really shocked that she's crashing out after she found out that he's cheating. This is in 2024. And remember, early in their relationship, there were cheating rumors too. I don't know if they're rumors, but there was cheating situations then. So in some more text messages that are more recent that he shared, that DDG shared in these court documents, and these are from May of last year. So it's about a year ago. Hallie says, I just thought that we'd do what I wanted to do today since it's Mother's Day. But if you really want to go, you can. I'll just go home and pack. Hello? Question mark. I guess he wasn't responding. So he finally responds. Let me see. Because she sent this around 5:35 p.m. He finally responds at 10 p.m. So these dates and times are important. I'm guessing Mother's Day, he didn't respond. This is last year. I believe they were still together. If you don't come back here, I'm going to call the police. I don't want you to do something stupid. Huh? Because remember, the text message that we're looking at, we're not talking about when she said she was going to unalive herself. Because when she said she was going to unalive herself, that was from 2022. Right? Look, let me look at these dates. Hold on. Oh, no, this was 2024. This is 2024. She said this in March of 2024. But now we're talking about May of 2024. He says, if you don't come back here, I'm going to call the police. I don't want you to do something stupid. Then he says, I'm going to give it 5 minutes. You have a son. I know you took my GUN. Then there's nothing. And then he says, that GUN has no safety. So these are text messages that he shared. I don't know if there was more within the court documents, but this is what I'm getting from our friends over at the Neighborhood Talk. But to me, it's sort of like you jump from 2022 to 2024 and 2 months in between. Okay. But you didn't feel that maybe at that particular time that you should have taken action for legal custody. But now you're concerned because she's going out of the country with your son. I'm just asking questions. Just asking questions. Now, it seems as if Halle Bailey is responding. So this is what TMZ is reporting. They said Halle Bailey has filed to deny DDG's request and instead grant her permission to take their son out of the country so that she can work. Hallie is also requesting orders to stop DDG and his family and friends to stop posting about their son. Because that's been the other thing. Since she filed for this legal custody, some of his fellow Twitch people have been blasting her on social media. She's asking that this litigation and Halle on all platforms. Halle also points out that DDG waited until today, June 4th, to file a request to block her from traveling and ask for new custody orders when he and his attorneys have ignored all of her efforts for him to have monitored visits with their son since the issuance of the TRO on May 13th of this year. So this is why I was saying I feel that it's interesting timing. The minute that she's about to leave the country, now all of a sudden she's this bad mother. She's unhinged. He's worried about their child's safety. Where was all of this when she filed for the TRO originally, the restraining order? Where was this then? Because that should have been your response. Court, I don't feel like my child is safe with her. And here are the examples. It sounds like you decided and you've been gathering information for the last month, almost a month, and now you want to respond. And are you responding for what? Because remember, he's also saying, oh, I want sole legal custody, but if not, I'll take a third party to intervene. Okay. I don't know. We're going to have to continue to follow this story. This is just sad because these are two young people, two successful in their own right. And now they have a child that's stuck in between the two of them, and they have to be able to co-parent on some level. They've got to figure this out. This is why you, again, have to be mindful who you decide to have children with. So that is a quick Hot Topics episode exclusively here on the podcast. The audio will upload to the podcast version on YouTube at some particular point. But if you want things in the moment and you can't wait, make sure you're subscribed to the podcast. Shout out to those of you that are just subscribed to us here. Be sure to check out our videos on TikTok, on YouTube, long form. If you've been looking for your Diddy updates, all of them are here as well. And I'm working on day 17 of the Diddy trial. A lot to unpack. A lot of information is coming out. I know some of you are just tired of all of the Diddy of it all. But if you're looking for a place that's giving you a summary of the day's events, including some of the transcripts of what is being said in certain testimony, we're bringing that here. And then, of course, be sure to check out the interview that we did with Kirsten Brown, a prosecutor in LA, that shared her thoughts on how the case is going. And if you want a better understanding of the legality of what is happening and how it's supposed to happen or what can happen, that was a great conversation. I felt so informed, and so many of you felt the same way. So be sure to check out that and so much more. As always, don't forget the Kempire After Dark live tour is coming to Philadelphia. Philadelphia, you're up first. A lot of you kept on saying, Kempire, when are you coming back to Philly? You felt like I abandoned you. No, at least I came to your city. Houston and Dallas are waiting on me to come. Chicago's waiting on me to come. Me too. It's not that I'm not trying. But again, if you are a promoter or know promoters in those locations, please have them reach out to me, KempireDaily@gmail.com. I would love to bring the show there. This summer, this fall, more information on our Philly show, our Atlanta show, our Washington, D.C. show, and of course, the New York City show will be available in the episode notes. Don't forget, meet and greets are available, and a live stream is exclusively available for the New York City show. Come for a night of Hot Topics, comedy, fun, tea being spilled, and so much more. Again, ticket information and everything Kempire, including our merch, will be available in the description. We have Pride merch. We have Juneteenth merch. We've got a lot of things. More information, again, will be in the description. Thanks so much for listening to our Hot Topics podcast episode.
Thanks for tuning in to Kempire here on the Kempire Radio Network. As always, you can hear Kempire on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. More information can be found on KempireRadio.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4-Day Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains June 6th through the 9th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.